listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Do we as adults overlook the fourth commandment once we're grown up and out of the house? The rules no longer apply to us? Well, we'll talk about that today here on Faith and Family. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Brandon Ross, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Johnstown, Colorado. Pastor Ross, welcome to Faith and Family.
Yeah, it's good to be with you today.
Glad to have you as our guest. You are a contributor to the February Lutheran Witness, February 2017, Not Just for the Kids. It's what the title of the article, The Fourth Commandment Continues to Apply for Our Whole Life. Now, Pastor Ross, does the Fourth Commandment really apply to us as adults?
Oh, absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. And we don't, like I say, we don't age out of this particular commandment. I've even run into adults. I say, well, you know, I'm grown up. I'm out of the house. I've turned 18. I've moved out, and now I am no longer beholden to this commandment.
I am autonomous. Yeah.
That's right. I am autonomous now. That's not necessarily so. Certainly you may be moved out of the house. You've moved on to different journeys in life. But nevertheless, this commandment still applies to you in many ways. This is a commandment that always applies to us. We have in this commandment an exhortation and a commandment from our Lord that we would honor our mother and father. And this is a beautiful thing, really, because we have this promise, according to this commandment, that it would go well with us and we'd live long in the land. This is what it says in the scriptures, and St. Paul says it, that when we honor our father and mother, we receive blessings. And these blessings continue for our entire life. So just because you're grown up and out of the house does not mean that this commandment does not apply to you, because you are encouraged to honor mother and father, especially as they grow older. You still care for them and love them, even though you are grown up and an adult. And God has given his blessings and promise in this commandment.
What does the fourth commandment teach us about the relationship of parents to children or children to parents?
This is another wonderfully instructive thing about this commandment. Is yes, children are to honor their parents, and I like the way that Luther puts it in the Arch Catechism. He says that they, his and children, should remember that however lowly, poor, frail, and strange their parents may be, that nevertheless they are the father and mother given to them by God. So, the duties of the child to the parent is to understand that the parent is by Almighty God, that their parents, however strange they may be, are gifts from God. They are the hands and feet and mouth of God, who is given to them to nurture them, to care for them, to console them, to teach them God's word, to teach them right from wrong, to teach them vocation, that they are wonderful gifts from God. And so that's the duty of the child, to recognize that. But even as a parent, and this is a wonderful instruction from this commandment too, even as a parent, it tells you as a parent, your duties and obligations. I mean, that's a big titanic responsibility. I mean, you're a parent, you understand this. If you're told by this commandment that you stand in the place of God, I mean, that's a wonderful and terrifying thing, that you have this obligation to love your children, to teach them, to nurture them, to care for them, and it lets both parents and children know their duties and obligations to one another.
What does then this fourth commandment mean for us adults? I mean, as we talked about earlier, when we've moved out of our parents' houses and no longer live in our parents' homes, right. What does this mean then for me as an adult? Are we ever autonomous?
Certainly not. And this is the wonderful thing that Luther picks up from this commandment and is indeed taught in the scriptures, that regarding your earthly parents, you are to love them and care for them as they are old, that is honoring them. So you're never not without this commandment in regard to your parents so long as they live. And secondly, and this is kind of the deeper meaning of this commandment, is that we are always beholden to authorities. This is the other authorities that Luther speaks about in his small catechism. You are beholden to those whom God has placed over you, wherever you might be. Even though you might be out of the house and grown up, as it were, you still have authorities placed over you. If you're a student, you have teachers or professors that are placed over you with the authority of parents to teach you and instruct you. This Luther makes very, very clear in the Large Catechism this way. And also we have authorities that are placed over us in terms of the government, those who are who have the duty and obligation, as parents do, to protect you and keep the civil order. And so these authorities also stem from the authority of parents. And so, as I said, you are never not without an authority to honor. So you always have those whom God has placed over you in his stead. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Let's talk about those authorities. Who are these authorities that Luther describes in his explanation on the fourth commandment, these other authorities, those who govern and those who are given to protect us?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He makes this distinction in the Large Catechism that you have many fathers. You have fathers according to blood. That would be, of course, your natural father. You know, the one that you called dad when you were a child and still do. And you also have fathers in office, and those fathers in office could be, like I said, they could be professors, they could be teachers, they could be your boss at work. We don't see our boss at work as a father figure, sometimes, especially if they're a rotten boss. But nevertheless, God has placed these authorities over you to kind of keep watch on you, to keep watch on your work, to protect you in their respective roles. He's given the government and those who protect us, police officers, your elected representatives, the president, the judiciary, the Congress. They all in some way take on an aspect of a father. You know, those who are law enforcement, they are our fathers in many ways according to their office.
So when do we obey them? Is there a time when we should not?
Absolutely. And this does not mean, even in regards to your earthly parents, that you obey them, you have complete obeisance to them in all things. You are to obey them, your earthly parents, your blood fathers, and your fathers in office, so long as they do not command you to sin. And that is a very important distinction. Many people would understand the fourth commandment to mean that you are to simply do whatever mom and dad tell you to do. Well, I mean that is true up to a point. You have these perhaps a parent that would encourage you to sin, to violate your conscience and God's word, and then you are to not obey them. And that is also true for those in the government or the police force. You can think of, numerous examples of totalitarian regimes where the government was indeed commanding people to do things that were wrong according to God's law. And then we are obliged as Christians, while still acknowledging their authority as coming from God himself, that we must disobey, because we must obey God rather than man, even though that man be in God's stead and in God's office.
What does it mean that this is the first commandment with a promise? You mentioned earlier that there is a promise. This is, St. Paul reminds us, the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. I believe that's in Ephesians.
Yes, yes. That promise occurs twice, at least the ones that I know of, in Exodus 20 and in Ephesians chapter 6, where St. Paul quotes from Exodus again, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. This is the first commandment with a promise. And Luther makes a lot of hay in this in the Large Catechism. He says that, how many rogues do we find out there in the world? And the reason why all these rogues are out there is simply because they didn't obey mom and dad. They did not respect and submit to their discipline in kindness. And honestly, that makes a lot of sense. If you are the kind of person that disobeys mother and father and the authority that they have, you're not going to obey the authority of the secular law either. And things are probably not going to go very well with you. I mean, you think about something so simple as your, mom and dad teaching you, to be kind and generous, to share, to practice right from wrong. Now, if you're an older person and you disregard a teaching, things are probably not going to go very well with you in your life, out in the workforce and out in the world. People are not going to like you very much if you simply cast aside their instruction in that regard. How much more so would suffer in this life because they have forgotten the word of God, which their parents have given to them, which they have taught them, the plagues of conscience that would come from forgetting rather God's law, and so on and so forth. And so God does attach a beautiful promise to this commandment that when you honor father and mother and the authority that God himself has vested in them to teach you, to instruct you, things generally will go better for you in life. Obeying mother and father is a blessed thing. Honoring them is a blessed thing, and it will go well for you in life, which is why we have this commandment at least twice in the scriptures, from St. Paul and once from Exodus.
So what does this fourth commandment look like? Let's look at two places. First of all, in your home, and then also in your parish as well. What does it look like in your home for you and your family, for and beyond your home as well? We talked about this relationship between parents and adult children. What does it look like? What are some examples from home where you're learning about the fourth commandment, your kids are learning about the fourth commandment? What are some examples that come to mind when you think about the fourth commandment at home?
The fourth commandment, at least in my home, is centered around an understanding that mother and father are there in the stead of God. And that is it's kind of a daunting thing, really. But it does put a good perspective for parents to understand what their duties and obligations are to their children. It's not, so in other words, it's not optional for them to teach them God's word. It's not optional for parents to teach them to bring them to church, for instance. It's not as little as it is optional for them to clothe them or feed them. You owe your children all of these things according to God's commandment, because you stand in the stead and by the command of God as an office of the parent. And so we teach this to our children, that they are to obey, honor the authority that God has given mother and father. And so and Luther says this too. He said children should take great comfort and knowledge and joy of all ages that God has given them mother and father to honor, because we have these commands and promises of God that when God commands them, he takes great pleasure that we would obey them, that we would honor our mother and father. Greater than any work that we could ever do in our life anywhere else is the knowledge that we serve mother and father and honor them. In fact, Luther says in his Large Catechism once, he says that, you know, would that God set up a mother and father of wood and stone if we didn't have one, that we could call mother and father so that we could serve them and honor them. So a beautiful promise that we have that we can serve God by serving and honoring our mother and father. So that's what it would be like in our house and in our parish. And this is the other tick that Luther has on the fourth commandment, that the authorities that also stand in the stead of God includes also your parish pastor, however strange he might be. he does stand in the stead of God to preach God's word to you, to forgive sins in Christ's name. And Luther calls the pastor also a spiritual father. So we have our earthly father, we have our fathers in the state, those who look after us and protect us. And we also have our spiritual father, who is our pastor. And so we are never, as I said, we are never without an authority to which we must give honor, gratefully, that God has given us these wonderful father figures in our lives that we can give thanks to God for, not just in the home, not just in the state, but also in the church.
So this fourth commandment is really for our benefit. It's a part of the structure in which God has placed us, the structure that he's designed. It's for our benefit. You mentioned earlier that teaching your children about the fourth commandment, that God has given them a mother and father who are there in God's place, carrying out God's work in the home, in their lives.
Yes.
So this is part of God's structure. And in the parish, trying to understand the structure in both places, in home, in the parish, or even in other parts of the world, this is understanding it as part of God's structure is almost contradictory to the, well, popular worldview, isn't it, today?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you hit the nail right on the head when you said that this is contradictory to the way the world thinks. The way the world thinks is that we are all, once you reach a certain age, you are an autonomous being. You can do whatever it is you please, and that does not really bode well for a happy life. But according to this commandment, God has set up, as you say, these structures, these orders in which we find ourselves. And we are never without a place in God's order. As we are younger, we always have those who are over us, our parents, our teachers, our secular authorities and our pastors. We always have them over us. As we get older, we find ourselves also in those offices ourselves. We become parents. We become those who are in authority over others in the workplace. Or we even might find ourselves as pastors or some such thing. And so we always have a place in this divine economy whereby we either act as God's representative to those who are under our care, or we find ourselves in a place of submission to an authority God has placed over us. And so we are never without that situation in our life. As long as we live, we always have those who are over us. We always have those who are under us in many situations. And that's a good thing, because God has willed that we are not to be alone. We are to have these people in our lives through which he would work on us, that he would give us protection, that he would give his word to us, that he would give us instruction and safety in those who are his hands, feet, and mouth in parental authorities. And that we would also love and serve our neighbor in our vocation, in those places where we find ourselves to be those who look after others in the various ways that we are our fellow man.
Pastor, thanks for your article this month in the Lutheran Witness. Not just for the kids, the fourth commandment. I hope you'll continue writing, and God's blessings on your ministry, serving at Faith Lutheran Church in Johnstown and teaching the Word of God there.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you today.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.